What is with this booming market post-election day? I'm David Brancaccio. Yes, we know more today than the day before the election, yet there remains much that is unpredictable. So why has the stock market been running so strong since election day? After the S&P 500 index rose 2.2% yesterday, the S&P future is up another 1.8% this morning. The Dow future up 390 points now, or 1.4%. This is in part investors saying, I can take on more risk now because there's more visibility into the future. But why? Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
I suspect what's happening is we're taking out the blue wave possibility that was priced into the market. And what that means most immediately is there's probably not going to be a big increase in capital gains taxes and probably not a big increase in the corporate tax rate. And what that means immediately is there's no need for people to take profits in those big high-flying stocks, the ones that are up the most this year. I think we start to focus on the fact that there's so much we don't know yet and possibly a contentious result when we do know.
But to put a finer point on this, there seems to be, as part of the logic here, the idea of divided government, that a Republican Senate, if that's where we're headed here, will stop a Biden presidency, if that's where we're headed here, from going too far to the left from the Wall Street establishment's perspective.
Right. And we heard that a lot from customers yesterday in feedback to some of the work that we put out. It's not even necessarily a weak Biden. I think people like the idea of a weak executive because it means less chance of unpredictable big changes that require rethinking strategy, that prevent people from making investments and so forth.
Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The VIX index of stock market volatility has dropped sharply in the last day, falling 24% to 26 this morning. This so-called fear index was up north of 38 on Monday. There was an awful moment in March at the dawn of the pandemic lockdowns when it hit 75. Votes are still being counted this morning in several states, but we can tell you the result of a ballot measures several in the city of San Francisco, the CEO tax initiative, and an effort to increase real estate taxes, mostly on big developers and landlords in a part of Silicon Valley Extended. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
San Francisco voters approved several ballot initiatives to restructure taxes with an eye toward addressing the city's growing economic inequality. One measure will add a tax of 0.1% on businesses whose CEOs earn 100 times more than the median compensation of workers. The tax goes up along with executive pay packages. The Economic Policy Institute estimates that last year, CEOs at America's top companies earned 300 times more than the typical worker. But calculating the new executive tax is complicated because CEO compensation can take a lot of forms, including stock and other benefits. The city says it could pull in as much as $140 million a year. Other new taxes on the way, an increase in the transfer tax on properties valued at $10 million or more. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Worrying. Some of us have turned it into a part-time job. I just heard you. You said full-time. You can worry about if your favorite presidential candidate is really going to get in, a viral pandemic. Did I mention economic crisis? Worrying itself has a cost. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab talked to some economists.
What's worrying Corey Leach these days?
What am I not worried about?
Leach is 34 and lives in Chicago with her husband and two daughters, a three-year-old and a six-month-old. Yep. A pandemic baby. And having a new baby has heightened Leach's worries about COVID and climate change.
In the middle of the night when I'm feeding my daughter, there's definitely been moments where it's like, that's all I can think about. And you're doing this loving thing. You're feeding a baby, but you're looking down and not thinking about that love. You're thinking about, oh my God, I'm sorry for bringing you into the world.
Not being present in the moment is one of the biggest costs of worrying, says Frank Schilbach, a behavioral economist at MIT.
You know, there's a budget that you have in your mind for mental energy that you can devote to different things. And if you worry a lot about things that are out of your control, well, then you have fewer cognitive resources available for other things in your life.
Worrying actually hijacks a piece of your brain, which can lead to sleep loss, careless mistakes at work, and even physical exhaustion. But worry also serves an important purpose, says Lisbeth Romer, a psychologist and co-author of the book Worry Less, Live More.
Thinking about what might happen in the future is an incredibly adaptive thing. It is very human and very natural for us to respond to threat and prepare for threat.
Worrying forces us to problem solve. But of course, not all problems are solvable. And just telling yourself to stop can actually make it worse.
We worry and worry feeds upon worry, and then we want to not worry, so we try not to worry, and now we're worrying about worrying.
How did we get here? Some of it's wiring, some of it's habit.
So we can learn it from it being modeled, if folks in our families worried a lot.
So what can we do?
I think different people find different things useful.
Sonia Bishop is a psychologist at UC Berkeley. She says some people practice mindfulness, others exercise. There are also studies that show actually scheduling a half hour to worry can help you focus outside that time block. And if none of those works...
If you're busy occupying your mind with something that's very cognitively challenging, then you literally can't engage in worrying.
Like me. Instead of worrying, I worked on this story about worrying. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
But here's some progress. Stock in the pharmaceutical company Biogen rose 44% yesterday after the FDA liked tests showing Biogen's Alzheimer's drug is effective in slowing the progress of the dementia. Exceptionally persuasive evidence, the regulator said. Aducanumab is what they call the drug, which seems like something spelled backwards, but Bamunakuda doesn't mean anything either, other than the possibility of helping to address a terrible affliction. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.